You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
In the three-week series we've been preaching and teaching about is Gratitude Challenge, and how we can be challenged in our gratitude, things we can have gratitude about. And the first week, Pastor Gerber challenged us in a way to have gratitude for something, and it begins with B. Who remembers? Breath. The breath of God challenged us to be gracious and have thanksgiving for, have gratitude for God's breath, His Holy Spirit that breathes life, everlasting life into our hearts and into our minds. Then last week, a different gratitude challenge. Being gracious for God's kingdom over our comforts. And it's very easy to do. Pastor Gerber talked about all kinds of ways that this world and the things we desire, the things that are our comforts, get in the way of God's kingdom. The temptations of this world really do seem to pull us away from kingdom work, which really perfectly leads us into today and our challenge to be gracious for something else or have gratitude for something else. And Samson's story will help us today. Maybe you've tried to think how this is going to work. Story of Samson, gratitude. Well, we all know of Samson and Samson's physical strength given to him as a gift from God, a gift that would enable him to be a leader of Israel, a leader that they desperately needed. You see, despite all of God's stern warnings to Israel, they still mixed with the ungodly nations around them. And they mixed anyway, by intermarrying them, worshiping them with their gods, making peace treaties that allowed pagans into the land of Israel, God's promised land, even adopting pagan morals and cultural practices like temple prostitution, even practices like child sacrifice. The evil and suffering would eventually become so bad that Israel would finally call out to God for help, for deliverance. These are the judges that he sent. And this pattern just kept going over and over. Well, in this case of Samson, God heard the people's cry and he sent a leader. And his name was Samson. And in God's mercy and his grace, he sent Samson to help deliver his people again. But the victory would be temporary, but it was victory nonetheless, and there would be peace and temporary obedience. Temporary. Now, because Samson was one of these leaders that God chose to bring peace and obedience back to Israel, there was peace and there was obedience. Temporary. Temporary because even strong leaders like Samson We're weak. Weak in their sin, weak in their ability to resist temptation. You see, Samson was flawed just like you, just like me. He experienced the temptations of this world. And for Samson, his greatest temptations were sexual temptations. We are most familiar with his temptation with Delilah. Now, the Pointer Sisters, well, they created a song in 1978 called Fire. Romeo and Juliet, Samson and Delilah. You know it, Lori. And unfortunately, for Samson, there was just a little too much fire, too much temptation. And when Samson wanted something, he got it. What Samson wants, Samson gets. Of course, Samson's not much of a model for Sunday school in some degree. But you see, God still used Samson for his purposes anyway. Going back to chapter 14, we see this sexual temptation and weakness of Samson start. In chapter 14, he becomes infatuated with another Philistine girl, and he desires to marry her, and obviously he shouldn't. According to God's law, even though Samson's father objects to this marriage, he finally gives in. With what Samson wants, Samson gets. But when Samson goes to claim his bride, he finds out that her father had already married her to somebody else, and he is upset. And this is where the story of the jawbone of a donkey comes into play. And Samson gets things riled up and he kills 1,000 Philistines. In chapter 16, at the beginning of chapter 16, which we didn't quite cover, he comes into this place called Gaza. It's kind of where the Gaza Strip is today, if you're familiar. And the first thing he does is he sees a prostitute. And he gives in, once again, to his sexual temptation. And then finally, later in chapter 16, where we started reading, there's another Philistine woman, and this is the infamous Delilah, who we have already introduced, who I've already read about. Delilah, working deceitfully, working to learn the secret of Samson's strength so her people could finally conquer him, this leader of Israel who was causing all of the consternation for their nation. And Samson, toying with her with false secrets, we read about one of them. Delilah, playing to Samson's emotions after Samson gives in after the three false secrets. Delilah, again, pressing him hard day after day to tell her the secret of his strength. And finally, Samson giving in. Verse 17. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death, and he told her the secret. A razor had never touched his hair. She had him sleep on her lap. A man came and shaved off the locks of hair on his head, and it was gone just like that. His strength. They gouged out his eyes. They bound him with bronze shackles, and mighty Samson had let his people down. Reminds me of another mighty guy. Another mighty guy who let his people down. They happened to be a hometown baseball fan crew. The mighty guy was Casey. You remember him? Mighty Casey? And it didn't look good for the Mudville Nine that day. But then Flynn got a single. Blake unexpectedly tore the cover off the ball. Second and third. Here comes Mighty Casey. And he lets the first two pitches go by. Not my style, he said on the first one. After the second pitch, a scornful look from Casey, and his face grew stern, and his muscles strained, and the people just knew he would come through. But he didn't. A mighty swing. Strike three, said the umpire. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout, but there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out. Poor Casey. Poor Samson. No longer mighty. Reduced to a bum mocked by the fans in the stands. Reduced to a slave being mocked by the Philistines. But we're Samson sometimes, aren't we? Only depending on ourselves. Giving into temptation. Getting ourselves into something. Something a professor of mine a long time ago, I've told you this before. I know Ben will remember. He told our class of future school administrators that what you have to avoid is getting into deep doo-doo. You remember that, Bennett? That's a couple years ago. You see, deep doo-doo is hard to get out of, isn't it? Samson got himself into deep doo-doo. He couldn't get out by himself. He got there because he gave in to temptation, and he lost it all of his mighty strength, all of his ability to lead his people. He lost it all. Have you ever felt like you've lost it all? Gotten so deep into the sin and deception of this world, you didn't know if you'd ever get out again? Not because of anyone else, because of your sin and your inability to resist temptation. Well, that's hard, about as hard as it gets. When we're humbled by our sin, like really humbled. Humbled in ways that there is only one way out. Forgiveness. That's what Jesus does. He forgives. And he restores. You see, Samson eventually had to face the music, didn't he? The result of his sin. Mighty Samson had struck out. But had he? Was he? Struck out? You see, even when Samson was down and out, God restored him. That's what God does. It's what God's will is for you, to restore you. It's what he did for Samson, even after giving into temptation. He restored him when he went to the Lord in prayer. Verse 18, then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once. And he did. Restore. The Lord restored Samson to what he was meant to be. No, who he was meant to be. Samson took a hold of those two middle pillars of the house, and he leaned on them with all his restored strength, and he prayed to the Lord one last time. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people who were in it. Samson repented and turned back to God, the one true God, laying down his life in the process to destroy the temple of the false gods of his enemies and to deliver God's people. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Brothers and sisters, you have been delivered too. Delivered regardless of your past. Delivered regardless of what sin you might be dealing with even right now. Delivered even from sin in your future. God is a God of restoration. God doesn't destroy, he restores. Restores us to be who we were meant to be, his children. Children restored by his death. Children restored by his resurrection. God's will for you is to be restored and to be saved. Most, if not all of us, know John 3:16. We hear it all the time. But what about John 3:17? Speaking to Samson, spoke to Samson, speaks to us today. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved, might be restored through him, redeemed through him, restored and redeemed, no matter what the sin. You see, even on a perfect pitch, you will swing and miss. But when you do strike out, there's someone in the batter's box, or I should say the on-deck circle. His name is Jesus, and he bats cleanup. He bats cleanup because he has to clean up our messes. He gets to clean up our messes. And it's free. Undeserved, but free. Forgiveness. Jesus simply doesn't strike out when you need him to go to bat for you, to forgive you. He hits it out of the park for you. He goes to the cross for you, and he rose for you. And we can be grateful, should be grateful. Grateful for mighty, forgiving, restoring Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.